looking at the clock, they asked me, or one person asked me, said, "So how long do you think you're going to preach today?" That's what I wanted to say. And I gave her a time, and she said, "Okay, I'll add about 15 minutes to that." So I do want to honor time. I do. I really do. But it's it that it is. It's till we're done. And if ever I'm just preaching just to preach, then somebody needs to come talk to me. But it's till we're done. But still, I know we got folks working hard back there today. But we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5 today. I know we're on a journey through the Gospels in a chronological way. I've really enjoyed that as we've gone through, and we've done a little bit in John, but a lot in between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I've really enjoyed that. And then and we'll continue with that. We're gonna kind of a Thanksgiving theme, and intentionally went looking for that, praying about that, and God led me to this verse. And going to be also after starting next week, going to look at some of the ancient passages, an ancient Christmas, looking at the prophecies that we find in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. And then we'll pick up in the Gospels again the first week of January. And so but today we're in 1 Thessalonians, and going to read we're in 1 Thessalonians 5, going to read verses 12 through 24. Definitely not going to preach on all of those. I'm going to focus on I'm reading it all for context because it's all in one statement, all in one breath, but there's several verses, only a few sentences, but there's a sentence right there in the middle that we're going to come back to and we're gonna look at. But I think for context, and just, I mean, it's just a great passage. I mean, it's just so many amazing things here. Literally, this could be a series for the next 5 weeks. And but we're gonna focus on one sentence that's right in the middle. But let's go ahead and pray, and then those who would like to stand may stand, and then we'll read the word. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, so much just for, if I may say this, just a sweet spirit of just fellowship and worship today. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to minister to us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, just giving us ears to hear what you would have to say to us through your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak through these lips that which is true from your word. And we pray, and Lord, may there be nothing said that would distract from anything you want to do in our lives today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to read verses, as I said, 12 through 24. It says, "But we request of you," this is written by Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit to the church at Thessalonica. And it says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and all people. Rejoice always," and this will be our sentence that we're focusing on today. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Amen. All right, so here we see again what I said could be easily as you just, I mean, that was just packed. I mean, with so many different things. In my copy of Scripture, it breaks it down to subheadings throughout the Scriptures, and this is like Christian behavior or conduct, and it talks about several things here that are worthy of noting as we work down to our sentence that we're going to look at. It talks about our conduct, our behavior towards leadership in the church, to respect, to esteem with love, to be at peace with each other, And then it talks about behavior towards church family. It says to warn the idle. It says be patient towards all. It says to comfort the faint-hearted, to support the weak, and never do we repay evil with evil. It's this fellowship of peace. This not of perfection. Not that we can do this on our own. It's through the Holy Spirit that is in us. And then it brings us to where that was towards one another. Then it brings us there in verses 16 through 18, where it is three scriptures or three passages, but it is really one sentence. We see the sentence in before 16, there's a period, and then after 18, there's another period. So with this one sentence here, it talks about this behavior toward God, our personal behavior. And where we are to rejoice always, pray always, and give thanks in all things. And then it goes on, and that's what we're going to focus on. But do not suppress the Spirit. Do not grieve the Spirit. Just don't disregard the prophetic utterances, the prophecies that Jesus is speaking. And of course, it tells us to avoid every kind of evil. Those things that we could, boy, just put in a, if you're a checklist kind of person, and we're not called to be checklist kind of Christians, but if you are somebody who likes lists and to how did I live today or how should I live today, this would be a great list for us all to strive for each and every day through the strength of the Holy Spirit that is in us. But today, again, want to focus on 16 through 18, and it's right there at the end of it. It tells the reason why. It says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And this is God's will for us. And I think that if we went around and talked to everybody and we were to do a poll, that we all in some way want to know what is God's will for us. Now we know there's more when it comes to God's will. First, to come to a place of faith in Jesus Christ, to love him, to love other people, and by loving him, keeping his word. And so there's more to that. But these things here are of those things that God would have for us as far as his will and the way that we should live and we should act. And the holidays, now the holidays are times that we should really... how am I trying to say this? We tend to be more kind during the holidays because we are supposed to. It's the holidays. Things are bright. Things are great. We see family. We see friends. We get out those bright sweaters, whether they're great or ugly or whatever. Whether some of us are old, or some of those sweaters that we have in our closets are older than most of the young folks here. You know what I'm talking about? But we get them out, and so there's a joy. There's something different around the holidays, and not because of those bright things, but because of these things that we find right here in this passage is what should bring that joy. So I want to start the holidays with you looking at these things. Now, when it comes to studying and preparing a sermon, this is probably the easiest that I've had in a long, long time. It is as clear as it can be. And so our points are right there. I mean, points always come from Scripture, but sometimes they need a little bit more commentary, if you know what. I mean, the first one, number one. Oh, how can we get the holidays? Not through the holidays, but how should we live every day? It says right here in verse 16, it says, rejoice always. You know, the translations say to be joyful always. You know, in the holidays, the reality of that for some people, it can be the most depressing time. There's pain. Things that should be that we see on the Hallmark Channel and the Lifetime Channel and those different Christmas channels and the 29 Scrooges that are out there, different kinds that we have. She's all right. She's got a bottle. And all is about to be good. But all those things that we, you know, that try to motivate us to feel good, the reality is that for many people, the holidays are a very depressing time. And sometimes we hold up to the hype of Christmas and Thanksgiving and holidays and Christmas parties and this and that, and we hit January, and boom, a lot of people just hit a tough, tough time. And because it was all external, not eternal, or internal, or eternal. That works as well. But here, be joyful always. Now, it's difference between happy. We tell people Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas. This happiness that we often talk about is based on our circumstances. I'm happy because of this. I'm happy because of that. But this, when it comes to this true joy, we see this joy is a spiritual fruit of the Holy Spirit. Remember, you've heard of that. It's in Galatians 5. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. That sounds kind of like Christmas stuff, doesn't it? But love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. So all these things come from the Holy Spirit. And we've heard that scripture of the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, so how do we get joy? You know, I think about it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. As Christians, as followers of Christ, as His church, our strength, it says in that passage, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You might be asking, what passage? Does anybody know? I will let you be first in the line. Nehemiah. Did anybody know that came from Nehemiah? I mean, I've preached through Nehemiah verse by verse, but when I was studying this week and I was going up here, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Where does that come from? And all the research kept pointing to Nehemiah. I'm like, And if you've ever looked at commentaries and things and concordances and things like that, it usually gives you like one word, a little bit of a snippet, and it says Nehemiah. I'm like, I don't want Nehemiah. I want the verse. Yeah, it's in Nehemiah. It's in Nehemiah, and remember, that was a time when Ezra, they had rebuilt the wall. Ezra came. They had the book of the law. These folks, they had been in captivity, and they hadn't heard God's word read. The book of the law is like the first part of the Old Testament, and so Ezra comes and reads that, and the people, they are just distraught. And then Ezra says that to be joyful, this is a day of thanksgiving. And you know, some of us who like to stand while we read, this is the place that we find it in Scripture. It is in Nehemiah 8, where Ezra, it says that Ezra opened up the book of the law, and he began to read, and the people stood. They stood like half a day while he read the word. And so that's where we get that from. That's also where we get an elevated platform, because they built Ezra an elevated platform and put him up where the people could see him, and he read the word of God. So how do we get this joy? How do we get this strength? And the first is in the context of this verse, is we got to be with the Lord. We got to be with the Lord. We got to be with the Lord in His Word. Just simply carving out time and prioritizing God each and every day. To have joy and to get that. I mentioned it last week, how some of us say, oh, got to be at church, get that shot in the arm and get me through the week. There is some truth in that. There's equipping that comes from being here, from our small groups, from fellowship. That definitely it equips us and sends us out. But there's also the responsibility for followers of Christ to be strong through this joy. And it comes to where we are with God each and every day in the Word where we prioritize Him. For many of us, the morning works out best. Some of us, the way we work in graveyard shifts and different shifts and mama shifts and daddy shifts and all those kind of things, you got to get to it whenever you can. But there's got to be a time where you, each and every day, where we acknowledge God as God and as our Savior, and we come and we get in the Word with Him in some way. Again, it says, He opened up the Word, and the people stood and He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We got to get in the Word. We got to have time to pray. That's our next point here in just a moment. But we pray, Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm here in this moment. The TV's not on. The radio's not on. I mean, you're just there by yourself in some way. And just say, God, here I am. Lord, I'm seeking You. Lord, I love You. Lord, I need You. Lord, speak to me through Your Word in some way. It might be that you have to read a whole chapter. Maybe that you read two chapters. It may be that you make it only through a half of a verse and just something just grips your heart. You just focus. You reflect. Oh, God, what does that mean for me today? Lord, thank You for that. Lord, may that be true in my life. And you reflect and you listen, and then you do it. You obey it. It's not that we just can open up the Word and read it, boom, 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 got it. Lord, I love You. Thank You so much for Your Word. And we go live the way we want to live. No, we got to be with the Lord, to be in this place where we can obey this passage, to rejoice, to be joyful always. It's not on our circumstances, but it's the reality of a living God who loves us, who has given us life, and has provided eternal life through Jesus Christ. We have to spend time with Him. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice. And it says, and I say again, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Oh, we got, and I think we're getting out of that, but there's some folks in some denominational backgrounds that kind of look at the people who are sullen and, oh, they're spiritual. Aren't they? No, there's no. To be spiritual, we are filled with joy because we've been with God and He has filled us. Do we always feel good? No, sometimes we're grouchy, but we're still joyful. I'm grouchily joyful. Is that a thing? Probably not. You know, why my wife will sometimes say, you're grouchy. And I said, no, this is happy for me. This is good for me. I'm not grouchy. All right. Hey, we all need work, right? All right, so an easiest passage that a pastor has ever had to preach, it's right there. Next, pray without ceasing. Now, how do you pray without ceasing? How would you ever leave your house if you had to sit there and pray without ceasing? Well, we got to understand that prayer is just fellowship with God. That you start, there should be a time in your day, if you're physically able, to just surrender to God. I do that by getting on my hands and knees and on my face and saying, good morning, Lord, here I am. And I pray certain things that are on my heart, things I confess, things that shouldn't be on my heart, or things that I shouldn't have said or done. I confess all those things. I'm honest before Him. He sees me. I'm like, Lord, I need Your help today. Lord, I'm concerned about these things. Lord, I don't want to do these things. Lord, You are my God. You are my King. Prepare me for today. I put on my spiritual armor. I spend time with God each and every morning. And then as I move throughout the day, always praying, always having Him, just knowing that He's present. You can talk to Him. You can fellowship with Him. You can talk to Him about everything. You can talk to Him while you drive. I know some of us, that's the time that we worship. That's the time we get our prayer time. That's the time that we get into the Word. That should not be our only prayer time. That should not be the only time that we plug in the CD or whatever you do to listen to the Word. And that's good to use that time. But praying always about everything in different postures, even right now, as we were in here, and you didn't see me get on my hands and knees and different things like that, but I was praying, Lord, help me through these things. Lord, may it be true. I pray all the time through the songs. And Lord, You are awesome. Lord, may that be true in our life. And regardless if I like the song or if I don't like the song, because theologically it is true, and Lord, may that be true in my life. Oh, we pray always. Why should we pray? Because God moves, He acts, He responds to prayer. We see that over and over and over again. And we read this morning the Psalm of Thanksgiving from First Chronicles. You move it down in history just a little bit beyond that, and we see that that Solomon, he has built the temple, and he stands out to pray. And what's the result of that? Y'all remember? The Holy Spirit moved in there. This is like in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God moved in there and consumed the sacrifices. I mean, literally where the priests could no longer do their job, God was there and his presence was so strong, he just knocked people down. You know, the presence of God can knock people down. We have historical record of it. And some of us may even have witnessed that in different ways. But we, again, prayer, he says, pray without ceasing, pray continually. It's our it's our fellowship with God. It's our primary way to communicate to God our Father. Pray all the time about everything. We see that so clearly in that passage. In our quiet times, throughout the day, as you go, it is a part of our daily worship. Friend, if we're going to be strong in the Lord, if we're going to know what it means to be joyful, to rejoice always, to live in the way that Scripture shows us and has instructed us, and Jesus has equipped us to do so, I mean, we got to have a daily worship, not just a weekly worship, not just a 3 times a month worship. It's got to be each and every day, and we find that to be true in this passage. And then finally, in the it says here in verse 18, again 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And verse 18, and in everything give thanks. Everything give thanks. Now I want you to look at that word in, because oftentimes we think of that word where it says give thanks for everything. But sometimes there's bad things that happen. Some things, there's an enemy, there's evil that'll come in and come against us, and there'll be challenges, there's sickness, there's death. And now it doesn't say be thankful for everything. The Scripture is clear where it says give thanks in everything. Again, and we thank God for his presence. We thank God for his strength. We thank him for eternal life. We thank him that this isn't it. We thank him for giving us the strength to move through different challenges. We thank him for the things that he's going to do through those challenges. I mean, sometimes in the challenge, you can't see what God has done, but then you get on the other side of that challenge. Have you ever looked back and said, wow, God, I see you at work in that? And so God's always at work. He is there. He hears your hears your prayers. You know, the reality is that you can say things to God that you can't say to other people. I mean, you can. Oh, how would I ever say that? If it's on your mind or heart, he already knows it. Pour out, God, I feel like this. Lord, I want to. Lord, I'm angry. Lord, I'm grieving. Lord, I don't understand. Lord, this seems unfair. Lord, help me. Lord, I have no strength. Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to take my next breath. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. There's no greater counselor than God and be able to pray. And he is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He has the victory. I mean, what is the worst thing that can happen is you could die physically. You can't die spiritually. You have eternal life. This is not the goal. Now, do I want bad things to happen? Absolutely not. I want good things to happen. I'm praying all the time. Lord, there's this good thing. There's this good thing. May these good things. Lord, there's a bad thing coming. I pray that you turn it into a good thing. No, we all want good things. But the reality, if we don't get those good things and the bad things happen, and as followers of Christ, there is eternal life where we will spend forever and ever and ever with him. Oh, it brings that eternal focus. Oh, we give thanks in everything. Oh, we see that with David. If you read through the Psalms, I encourage you to read through the Psalms if you haven't done so. I encourage you to read everything. It's awesome. And, you know, where David, he was really good at this, where he would pour out his heart. Lord, this is terrible. Lord, this is horrible. These people want to kill me. They want to take my kingdom. These people hate me. Lord, this is happening. Lord, that's happened. And then there's always a but God, you are amazing. You are the creator of the earth. It is you who has put breath in our lungs. Lord, it is you that will see me through this. We need to learn to pray like David prayed. Oh, to be honest. Lord, This is where I'm at. Lord, I need you, and I give you thanks because of the things that you will accomplish through this distress, that you will accomplish through this issue. He's faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. Oh, he is faithful. And then want to just, as we wrap it up, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Why do we do that? Right here. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, it's important. It's important. We will receive a blessing just by his presence, focus on him, a joy that is, hey, your life's falling apart. Why are you all bubbly? Well, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what he has done for me. It gets our perspective on him and not on our issues. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Hopefully this is encouraging for you in some way. Now as we, I'm going to take a moment and just want you to reflect on things. Reflect on that. Where is your joy? What are you rejoicing about? Maybe it's like it's really here today. I just want you to take, you have a personal time of prayer. We just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for my joy. I tell you, there was somebody that was talking to me this morning about just different things in creation, in God's creation, just bouncing with joy. I was loving it, sitting there smiling. She probably didn't even know why I was smiling. I was like, man, look at that, bubbling with joy. And then, I mean, but maybe you're not joyful. Tell him about that too. Pray. I want you to pray. Tell him about these things. So tell him why you're joyful, why you're not joyful, how you need to be joyful. Pray to him and then tell him something that you're thankful in. But Pastor, you don't know my situation. You don't know what has happened. You don't know what's happening. You don't know what's going on in my heart. You don't know the sin that I've committed. Confess the sin to him and tell him thank you for something. Because it's not about you. It's about what he has done.